today on Real Radio.
According to the Bible, do you see angels appearing as common people and then disappearing in the Bible? Do you have records of that? Yeah, the Bible says angels can appear and be among you and you not even know who they are, thinking that they're just another person.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 3, continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter, of course, was a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Now, Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way Jesus loves, to seek peace and pursue it, and that our godly convictions are to be expressed with compassion and respect. Previously, we saw how the Bible can be both challenging and thought-provoking. But when it comes to what the Bible says about salvation, we are without excuse. We all have access to truth. Jesus, through his word, tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that eternal life in heaven comes by having a personal relationship with him. We live in a dark and dying world, but the death of Jesus upon the cross delivered us from Satan and his evil deception. So today, on day two of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in the spirit world, the Bible refers to angels as entities that can physically appear and disappear in and out of our realm of being. They're not your grandmother's little cherubims. They're capable of supernatural strength. And now in his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This is the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man. Church, I want to see if you remember. Perfect. The word, Hebrew word, tamim. Noah was intact. The word means untainted, unpolluted, unmixed, without mixture. In his generation, Noah walked with God. Noah was different. What was happening here? The Bible says that these fallen angels looked upon human women and manifest themselves, became a tangible. Listen, if you know your Bible, if you don't know your Bible, you're probably already freaking out. But if you know your Bible, quiz. According to the Bible, do you see angels appearing as common people and then disappearing in the Bible? Do you have records of that? Yeah, the Bible says angels can appear and be among you and you not even know who they are, thinking that they're just another person. That's weird. That's creepy. I know Hollywood does that stuff, and that's okay as long as it's on the silver screen. But when it gets off the screen and walks up the theater aisle, that's another story. God says it happens. It happened to Abraham. It happened to Lot. It happens in the Bible where an angel will appear and have a conversation with somebody and they don't even know it's an angel. Man, if an angel can do that, can a fallen angel do it? See, we don't like that. No, you lost your supernatural powers, and you can't cross that line right there. Excuse me, the Bible says these are really, really bad angels. They have been ejected from heaven. They have been ejected from heaven for a lot of reasons, but some of them are even bound in a certain place called Tartarus because of the gravity of their sin. Jude chapter 1, verse 5. 6 and 7, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, that's creepy. He has reserved an everlasting change under darkness for the judgment of the great day. That's scary, because that's a reference to the tribulation period. They're going to get out. Verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner of these, having been given themselves over to what? Sexual immorality, went after strange flesh, unsanctioned, unnatural flesh. Some humans stopped having sex with some humans. Angelic beings who are not supposed to cross the line in their fallen condition manifested themselves, crossed over, and fulfilled Genesis chapter 6. And the Bible says, from them were born these men of renown. weird, strange beings. Human, like, massive. The Bible describes two of them as being men who were killed in battle, who were like lions in the face. Now you say, well, that just means they're hairy. It could be, but they're also giants. They were actually giants. Raphaim. Deuteronomy 3, verse 11. We know one of their names. We know actually quite a bit of their names, but this one, he goes by the name of Og, the king, Og, who is king of Bashan. Deuteronomy 3, 11. It says that for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the, see the word giants in your English Bible? The Hebrew Bible is Raphaim. Indeed, his bedstead, his comfort bed was an iron bedstead. Is it not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon? In other words, hey, you know his bed? Isn't it funny? It's in the Bible, Deuteronomy 3. Yeah, you know that guy? He's left. He's one of the giants. Oh, hey, by the way, Moses is, sounds like he's saying, have you gone to the museum to see it? It's still there. You should go see it. See what? Look, it says that his bed is 9 cubits long. So what's 9 cubits? Listen, do the math. 9 cubits, a human cubit is from the tip of your elbow to the top of your baby finger here, and it ranges dependent upon the tallest and the shortest of human beings. The average is 18 to 22 inches. That's how you build things in the ancient world. That was your measuring stick, okay? So that bed was over. That bed was at or around 15 feet, 16 feet long. And then look what it says. It says that his bed right here is the width is 4 cubits wide. That's 6 feet or more wide. And it says that it goes by the standard of a cubit, which is the measurement of the man. You see, Jack, what are we talking about this stuff for? Because the Bible says that there was a time before the flood and after the flood that there were giants in the land and that they were freaks according to our understanding of what a human should be like. And what the Bible teaches is that this is the result, listen now, this is the result of Genesis 6, Jude chapter 1, 1 Peter 3, and in the future, 2 Peter as well, Daniel chapter 2, where these manifest creatures, these angels, were very interested in females. Why? You got to ask the question, why? Well, they're all male. That's okay, they're men. All angels are men. We don't know that. We assume that. Did you know that? He said, no, the Bible says that. Jesus said in heaven, we'll be like the angels. We will not be given in marriage. So we don't know if there's male or female angels. It just says that nobody in heaven gets married. Angels don't get married. We just made this assumption. Where did that come from? You know what I'm saying? Oh, all angels are male. We don't know that. We made that assumption. What's weird is that the Bible teaches us that in a fallen world where sex and sin was so rampant that what was normal sex became abnormal sex, and what happened was a culture that was absolutely obsessed where even their gods, all of their gods, had sex-related worship practices. And when I say gods, I'm talking about those mythological gods. And you can study this at your leisure. It's actually fascinating to study. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that when he comes back. And let me ask you something. Do you really believe that? Jesus said it's going to be. So if I were to ask you, hey, tell me what it was like, chances are that you're going to miss describing how bad it was in the days of Noah. And then if I were to ask you, how bad do you think it's going to be? You'll probably miss imagining that as well. We don't even know what it's like yet to see a culture like this. But when you think of like these various ranks, listen, seraphim are angelic creatures, heavenly or spirit creatures, cherubim, angels, archangels, Raphaim, Anakim. I'm not even talking about demons yet. That's a whole different realm. They have various dwelling restrictions. But let me tell you, according to the Bible, what angels and the spirit beings are not like. Let me show you your first image. This is what they're not like. Okay, this is more... Wouldn't you like it if angels were like this? Now, let me paraphrase. Daniel said, I saw an angel and it appeared to me and I was terrified. I fell on my face and I became like a dead man. And for many days, I lay sick and weak because of the voice of the angel and its terrifying appearance. Okay, I don't think so. No. Let's look at the next slide. Maybe more something like this. You say, what in the world is that? That's a great question. Regarding the cherubim and seraphim that are in the presence of God, regarding descriptions by the prophet Ezekiel, John in Revelation, Isaiah, they saw in the spirit realm multiple manifestations of God's presence and or God's angels. In fact, this description here of what is understood to be a seraphim, the Bible says, I saw this winged creature that had eyes within and without, eyes all about. Obviously, no one caught a selfie of a seraph. This is an artist rendering. But when you read the biblical description, whoever the artist is, rendered his interpretation. Regardless, it is terrifying. If you saw that in the sky, you'd freak. There's another image that I want to show you that, of course, these are earthly images, but this next one, remember this, that they're not of this world. Now you say, why do you show us this one? Well, because as I mentioned last week, God dispatched one angel from his presence that had a sword who killed 185,000 Syrian army troops in one night. They're not human, but they have the ability to not only manifest their presence to the point where they can take the form of a human being, whereby you do not even know that it's something supernatural, but when they appear seemingly, as we'll see in a moment, in their created state, they are absolutely terrifying. The book of Genesis tells us that God set two angels with flaming swords at the entrance of the garden to protect mankind from the tree of life. Now, this one right here, artist rendering, can you imagine for a moment? Psalm 78, verse 49, that says, he unleashes against them in his hot anger and wrath and indignation and hostility a band of destroying angels. What can a human do about this? Listen, a human can do nothing about this. Stop right there. The only person that can do something about this is a Christian. Is the Christian. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has granted us the authority over angels, over demons, over principalities and powers. Listen, church, all of a sudden, listen, keep that on the screen. God help us if we are some sort of people that either hide in the corner and shiver when we even think about such things, or we think about such things and we go around acting like we can slap them in the face and push them around. The truth of the matter is we ain't got no power against that stuff, but the power of the Holy Spirit in us has absolute power over this. It is absolutely impossible for a Christian with the Holy Spirit in him to be possessed by something like this. It's not possible. The Bible says it's impossible. But if you're not a Christian today, this is possible. These things can come. These things can attack your thoughts. These things can manifest, as the Bible talks about. They're not of this world. They dwell in a transcendent and a much more complex physical realm than we do. Their physics can change in an instant. We're bound. We're stuck right now. Next slide. Let's look at this one. Now, that's not very encouraging, is it? A moment ago, I mentioned that death angel going through to defend Israel and killing 185,000 Assyrian forces. Can you imagine? Listen, the Bible makes it very clear that for you and I live in this world, but around us is a world that is spiritual. And we don't like to dwell upon that much at all. But we need to wake up. If what Jesus said is true, in the last days, it's going to be like the days of Noah. If we study the days of Noah and find out that it was not only decadent and pagan and barbaric, but there were literal infiltrations and manifestations of spiritual entities that had invaded the world, even to the point where there was seemingly altered genetic involvement taking place, that women were bearing children that were giants, the Bible says, six-fingered, six toes, men of renown, men that could not be defeated unless God was involved, and David killed one of them with a stone. Or actually, he hit him in the face with a stone. He didn't kill him. David ran up there, grabbed his sword, which was ginormous, it says. And imagine David gets that sword and drags it up over Goliath's neck, and this goes back and forth on that neck. He was so happy he would carry that head around. The sons of Anak, the Bible calls them. The Anakim. Write it down. Look it up. The sons of Anak. Throughout the Bible, there's the sons of Anak and the descendants of the Anakim. The word appears in the Hebrew, Emim, Nephilim, Raphaims. They're known as the shadowers. They're known as those who parallel our world. They walk alongside, invisible to us. They have bad intent, been deceived by none other than Lucifer himself. They're now held by him under his command to do his bidding. And then my Bible tells me that I should walk in the light as Christ is in the light, so that I might have fellowship with God. Think about it. All of a sudden, listen, when somebody tries to lure you away into some sordid sin, hey, she may be hot or he may be hot. You may want to have fun. Oh, maybe it's just for the weekend. You know, I just want to blow some steam. You have no idea what's behind that. When these things roll without spiritual protection on our part, they seemingly grab humans like puppets. A non-Christian is unprotected. And a non-Christian will think the thoughts that these guys are trying to get into your mind. False doctrine, false teaching. Think about yourself and only yourself, and forget about Christ and all of the things that could save you and love you. They don't want you to get near it. I'm going to give you a verse right now. It freaked me out. Never read it before, right? I'm doing this Bible study. Many of you are going to recognize this verse. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 17. It's talking about the immoral woman. We've all read it. I make sure all the guys I know read this. When I speak to young men, I make sure that they hear about this. You know what? I have to confess, I was sloppy. There's a word I didn't look at. I took it for granted. I assumed something. Proverbs 9, verse 17. Listen to what she says. She says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Translation. Hey, you know what? You're not supposed to have me. Hey, see me? See these? You're not supposed to have these. You're not supposed to have me. Stolen water. It's so sweet. And he's like this. Yeah? And she goes, And bread? My bread? Eaten in secret? You know, all that intrigue. Another verse in Proverbs says, and she enticed him with her words, and she led him like an ox to the slaughter. But listen, verse 18 says, but he does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. See the word dead? I was shocked. What do you think dead means? Dead. I thought if you have sex with a woman who's having sex with everybody else, you're going to get a disease and you're going to die. That's what I thought. That's not what it is. Are you ready? You know what the word is? She leads you. She entices you over. Little do you know, she's leading you to, the word is not dead in the Hebrew Bible. She's leading you to the Raphaim, the Nephilim. She's leading you to a realm that crosses over from sexual pleasure into a realm of bondage to the point where these powers take control of you. Look, you can be addicted to cocaine, and that's really difficult, I'm sure, and I'm sure that's terrible, but you can get out of it. When a person's addicted to an oversexed life, there's something different. That's why the Bible says the person that commits sexual immorality sins against their own soul. Look, when you rob a bank, you're sinning. Do you understand that? When you're speeding, you're sinning. When you're lying, you're sinning. But when you're committing sexual immorality, the Bible says, you're sinning against your own soul. Something's different. We live in an age where we have checked out on religion and we've created a new one. And it's the worship at the sexual altar of anything goes. And I believe the days of Noah, at very, very least, the door has been propped open. We may be further into it than what I think. But I believe this bizarre, aberrant, exhaustive sexual craze in our world, where sex is no longer, and it's got to be weird and twisted, and you've got the manifestation of homosexuality, bestiality, cyber type of sexual pleasure now, without a human being involved, without another human involved. What's happening in the days of Noah? In the days of Noah. I just found that fascinating, Proverbs 9, that it says she's going to lure you right into the place of the Raphaim. People can take drugs and they'll say they experience a hallucinogenic, demonic type of a world. I find it interesting, and we're seeing it more and more in biblical guidance with people. People who are giving themselves over to sexual exploits, they start to have demonic manifestations in their lives. I won't mention the name to protect the party, but it's a pretty bizarre day at the office when someone comes in who's been having bad dreams and been having a bad life, and then who has a dream, and then in the morning gets up and back of the neck, back behind the shoulder blades, down to the buttocks, there's bite marks on the back, and they don't live with anybody, they're alone, and then their dream, this thing happened, and they were not with anybody, and they're terrified. Wouldn't you be terrified? See, we say as Christians, no, no, no way, no way, and then we go pay $7 and go watch it in Hollywood film. No, ladies and gentlemen, Hollywood got it from the Bible.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 3. We're so glad you joined us today. And don't forget, whether in quiet times or in the middle of a storm, our souls can find rest because the Lord is in the midst of it. Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, these are times when we feel like our lives are being shaken to the core. Peter and the first century church were shaken by the Romans. Today in the 21st century, we're also being shaken by the powers that be. Still, we have the advantage of New Testament knowledge and immediate access to help through technology. And that's why Pastor Jack really offers so many different ways to optimize our devotional time and our relationship with the Lord. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com. Once you're there, you'll find a lot of unique resources to stay informed, connected, and encouraged. You'll also be able to access our real-life mobile app for your smartphone or tablet. It's all there when you go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.